Good morning. Got a small crowd today. Holy smokes. Wow. We're going to abbreviate our service, though. That sound okay, Smokey? Yeah? Good. Welcome. Happy Father's Day. Oh, happy Father's Day. And Grandfather's Day. I don't think I need to make any announcements. Vacation Bible School's this week, and everybody's excited because we're going to a place... Yay! We're going to a place called Athens. Athens is in Greece, and Sana, on the Aegean Sea, and it's beautiful. Every day is 75 degrees, and the sea winds blow, and the grapes fall from the vines right into your mouth. And and you can go deep sea swimming and see all these beautiful fishes. Right? Let's all go. Let's all go to Greece. Yeah. Let's open our worship with a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love. Thank you for your presence in our lives. We pray today that your Spirit might come alive in us, that we might have new eyes to see the wonders of your world, and new ears to hear your Spirit and how it moves. So bless us with your Spirit today, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we have Pastor Nelson Lufafa with us. We're going to abbreviate the service today, shorten it up, okay?
Yeah.
When are you going to the cities tonight or tomorrow?
Yeah,
tonight. So this is the last time I will see you for about 3 years again?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Maybe by the next time you see me, I will grow up. Let's have the choir sing for us. Thank you, Darwin. Thank you, choir. That was wonderful. That was really a neat song. Thank you. Please rise and let's join in singing our opening hymn, 733, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. And a peace that endures, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. We open our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us join together in confessing we are a broken people. We confess we live in a world broken apart by selfishness and self-centeredness. We feel isolated by loneliness and betrayed by broken promises. Sin has shattered our existence, and we know the despair of trying to fix it on our own. God, we confess we are a broken people in a broken world. We need to know your forgiving grace. We need to feel your forgiving love. God of love, create a heart of wholeness within us. Hear the good news of God's forgiveness. People of God, our Creator knows us and loves us. God knows our brokenness and desires to give us a heart of wholeness. In Jesus Christ, our shattered world is restored, and we are given the gifts of grace and forgiveness. The cross is empty and the tomb is open. Christ's victory over death provides forgiveness for our sin and hope for all eternity. New life begins today. New love begins right now. Praise God for life and love. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's join together in praying the prayer of the day. O God, throughout the ages you judge your people with mercy, and you inspire us to speak your truth. By your Spirit, anoint us for lives of faith and service, and bring all people into your forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. I think we'll shorten the service up today and just jump to the gospel lesson. I remember when I was a young person myself in the pews. So, the gospel lesson for the fourth Sunday of Pentecost is found in the 7th and 8th chapters of St. Luke. Through a dramatic encounter of rich and poor, righteous and sinner, Jesus teaches the relationship between receiving mercy, responding with a lavish outpouring of love. Jesus also provokes his host by claiming authority to forgive sins. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet weeping and began to bathe his feet with her tears, to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who's touching him, that she's a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts of both of them. "Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Chapter 8. Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. The Word of God, the Word of Life. Let's sing just the first verse of Hymn 773. Let's sing one more verse, the last verse. Let's sing the last verse.
When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past,
and God. At the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, fresh in my hand.
Nelson, please come and join us here at the front. We have our guest with us today, Pastor Nelson Lufafa. Nelson is a worldwide traveler, 34 years old, got a beautiful wife, three lovely children, and he's adopted 84 children from a children's home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not using that word orphanage anymore. Nelson was here in March, I think, of 2010, and told us about a home he has built with lots of love and lots of others' help and God's guidance. And its nickname is STAW. And what does STAW stand for?
STAW is Save the AIDS Orphans, Uganda.
Save the AIDS Orphans. In Uganda. So you do use the word orphans. An orphan for the young children are children who don't have mothers. They don't have parents, no mothers or fathers. And so on Father's Day, they have one heavenly father that they say thank you to and honor. Yeah, good. Nelson has a very interesting story about how he became a Christian. You're 34 years old. You were raised. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I come from a family of more than 90 children, 90.
90 children.
Same father.
Same father and
different
mothers.
Mothers.
Yeah.
So I was raised up in a family, a polygamous family.
Polygamous means that the...
A man gets married to...
Many women.
Many women.
Many women.
I think that is also common in America.
Not so. It's against the law.
In Utah.
In Utah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to check that out after the service. But your father had over 90 children.
Yes.
And I noticed in one of the slides there was a Dr. Lufafa. Was that one of your brothers?
He's my brother, too.
And you also have a sister who is also a doctor.
A doctor who came to Yale University and did her master's. And after finishing the master's, she went back to Uganda and quit the medical staff, and she's preaching the gospel on the streets.
Now she's preaching the gospel on the streets. Mm-hmm. So she's a medical doctor, graduated from Yale University. Mm-hmm. So between your ears in that brain matter, there's lots of wisdom and very intelligent, huh? Yes, I can tell. Everyone here, how many of you were baptized or have known Jesus all your life? Raise your hand. Most everybody has known Jesus. Now, tell us your story. Tell these people your story, okay?
I want to first apologize because I don't speak American English. I speak African English, so with a big kind of heavy accent. So
you do very fine, and don't apologize.
I apologize. So I was brought up in a polygamous family. So many brothers and sisters, over 90 now, and different mothers. So I never experienced the father mother concept. I never saw my father coming at our home. And every time I used to ask my mother, where is my father? And my mother would tell me, maybe next week, maybe the other week. So I was brought up like an orphan, even when I had a father and a mother. But I did not see my father at all. So my mother, in Africa, women are not breadwinners. Men are breadwinners. A man would sit at home and wait for bread or wait for anything from the husband because most of them are not working. So my mother was not in position to support us go to school. And so what I did, I dropped out of school because my mother was not able to pay for us. Every time I used to plow the school gardens so that I could get money to be able to sustain our family as a young man. So I dropped out of school, and the only job I could get, I would just get be a fisherman in Lake Victoria. We are located in Jinja, Save the AIDS Orphans are located in Jinja, and that is where Lake Victoria, the second largest freshwater lake next to Lake Superior. And so that is the ginger is also, if you know about the source of the Nile, that is where the source of the Nile is. Nile is the longest river in the world, and Mississippi is the fourth river.
He reminds me that the Mississippi is the fourth longest. But I remind him that Lake Superior is the biggest lake in the world,
exactly.
Next to Lake Victoria.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, Jinja is the town that you grew up in.
Jinja is the town where I grew up, and that is where exactly where we're working. And being brought to that kind of environment, I say I became a fisherman because that was the only job that I could qualify to get because I had no qualification at all. But I'm so grateful that God qualifies the called. When He calls you, He qualifies you. And then I became a fisherman, and I remember very well I was in the boat taking people to Kenya because we are neighbors. Kenya is our neighbor, taking people to Kenya, and we are 43 people in the boat, and we experienced heavy storms. I am in the boat, and I don't know Christ. I persecuted the church. Every time the church used to bring to evangelize the community, I would stone them. But now I am in this kind of, I'm in this boat, and I'm on Lake Victoria. We are experiencing heavy storms. So suddenly, we had an accident, 3 p.m. on Lake Victoria. And I saw most of my friends going in and not coming back. They were drowning. And I started swimming. I am not a good swimmer, I can tell you. But it was by the grace of God that saved me. I started swimming and got hold of a water can, a jerry can, which took me from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. in the morning on that big lake. Hearing sounds of the birds and thinking the crocodiles are going to eat you.
You've got crocodiles in Lake Victoria?
Crocodiles are on Lake Victoria. And then I was pushed to this big rock, and I started getting hold of that big rock where I stayed for another second day. The second day, no help. You can't see anything. Only the birds, and you are starving and very hungry. Nothing to eat. And the voice is telling you, you are going to die. And then I started praying, and I looked at God and said, God, if you save me, I'm coming back to you, and I'm going to serve you. And there was no help that same day on the second day. I stayed there for the third day on the big rock. All right on the third day when I was praying, there was a boat that was passing by and started making a lot of noise, and they came for my rescue. And they put me in the boat. They asked me where I was coming from, and I told them where I was coming from, and I collapsed. I came to my senses when they were taking me. We were about to get the landing site. And for the first time, I get to see all my brothers and my sisters. They had wept for the last 2 days because only 2 people had survived by then, and they thought that 41 people were dead. So they thought that I was also among the people who were dead. Finally, they get to see me, and I had survived. Tears that wept, but then they started to cry tears of joy because they had seen me. And that was my turning point. And I gave my life to Christ, and I joined youth with a mission, where I did discipleship training. For some of you know about youth with a mission, where I did my discipleship training. So, yeah.
So you were 17, 18 years old?
That time I was 17 years, and then joining youth with a mission, I was 18 years.
18 years old, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. And so how did you come to care for orphans?
Being brought up in that kind of environment, my sister, by the way, something I did not even remember telling you, I lost my brother this week, Monday. I lost my brother due to HIV/AIDS pandemic on Monday. And that time, my sister was also HIV positive, and she had lost her husband due to HIV/AIDS. And she calls me and says, Nelson, take care of my kids. But that did not mean a lot to me. Take care of my kids without no money. Take care of my kids without no job. That did not make sense to me. But right on the streets of Nairobi, when I was doing my discipleship training, I met a guy called Richard, who is now an engineer. Richard had lost both parents due to HIV/AIDS, and I asked him, when he was eating in the garbage, I went to him and got hold of his hand. I asked him why he was eating in the garbage. He told me that he did not have parents. They had died of HIV/AIDS. And then I remembered what my sister told me, that take care of my children. And I realized that the streets of our towns and cities are so overwhelmed by many street children as a result that the extended families are not willing or able to take care of the orphaned children. And then there are so many people who die and they have no one to say, tell that take care of my children. Then I say this is a calling from God and God is calling you to help out orphans. I started by taking Richard to my house and then brought in the three kids that my sister left behind, and I started by going out and visiting children in their families, child-headed households, kids that do not have parents. If children lose their parents, for example, a girl of 13 years losing her parents, what would you expect that girl to do? She's going to go on the streets and become a prostitute because she's going to become the breadwinner. We have those child-headed households.
Mm-hmm.
If he is a boy, he's going to do hard labor. So what is the church doing? What are we doing? People will remember us for two things: the problems that we created and the problems that we solved. So we need to stand in the gap and do something. And I know that what we make happen for others, God will make happen for you. So I started by going out to the community and helping out.
Mm-hmm. So what year was that you started the...
1997.
I was 18. And how many children are living in your... children's homes. Yeah, I'm not going to use that word orphanage. Children's homes now.
Now what we do is that, as I say, that we have 83 children living at the children's home. We don't call it an orphanage because Bible says he places the solitary into families, into homes. So it's a children's home where they have aunties, where they have mothers to look at. Bible says it's the father to the fatherless. And what we do the motherhood. So I started this organization at the age of 18. I believe some people say, you are such a young man. How did you begin that? But I know that maturity does not come with age. It comes with acceptance of responsibility. We have seen so many mature people do things like kids.
Yes, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Why don't you show us some of the pictures that you have, okay?
All right. Something's happening, but as they fix, I want to also say one thing that when I came here, this church gave money to help us build a water well. And we want to thank you so much for that kind of donation. Some of you take water for granted, but it's not for granted. So this is 78 of us, Uganda, and that is our mission. So we get kids in that kind of environment. Those are our homes in Uganda. Most of the people live in rural areas, and that is how they live. So for those of you who want to see the picture of how Uganda is, that is how it is. And that is my wife, Grace, with some of the kids. And there's one young kid from the States who was visiting the children's home. Those are child-headed households. So you know, one grown-up kid has about three kids to take care of. That is how the situation is. One of the HIV affected or affected, that woman was HIV positive, and so we were trying to help out. In the house alone, she had three kids, and these kids are looking at her, but this woman is bedridden. The only thing that you would see is, do you see big eyes rolling. And the kids are looking for her. They want to eat something, but she cannot provide because she is bedridden. Yeah. And that is the Agape children's home. And Agape means love, unconditional love. In part of the children's home, yeah. So we have Agape Integrated School. That is a school 100% of the people, of the orphans and vulnerable children in the community attend Agape Integrated School. And these are some of the kids. If you get to see how, where they came from, right now they are celebrating and having a party, and they are taking, we take care of them as our own kids. So that is my family, as you see. They have put on t-shirts from England. So that is Agape Integrated School. All the kids at the children's home are given the, orphans are given the privilege to go to school. That is the only way we can change our nation. So we have a soccer team, and that is a soccer team from the children's home. And the guy there is from the States, but he is the trainer of the kids. Some of the kids putting in their uniforms. Mm-hmm. So we have recently, we got some donation from Norway, a man who does not even know God. He gave a donation. He's an atheist. He gave a donation to help out the orphans. So the people who don't know God are challenging us. So we have constructed a new school, and at the same time, we have constructed a new hospital, which hospital is the biggest hospital in Eastern Uganda, and the school is called Victoria Junior Academy. Victoria is my daughter. And that is Victoria classes, Victoria Junior Academy classes. That's how they look like. And kids were so thankful after the donation of the school. And that is some of the volunteers from Norway giving out clothes to the orphans. Bible says, I was hungry, never gave me food. I was thirsty, never gave me something to drink. I was naked and never gave me clothes. And you ask, where did we see you? Keep on. And all these kids are looking at you so that you can render a hand. We really appreciate. Thank you so much. We have probably Pastor GM has not. We have so many challenges. However, even when we have brought, bought, and built a hospital, built a school, we have built a borehole that we supported, however, there are challenges.
Got a couple of questions. First of all, your father practiced polygamy. How about you?
Not me.
Not you. One wife?
One wife.
One wife is enough. I had to ask. Second, you're going to remember this. Second, you've got three areas you've told me that you need help right now, immediate needs. Share with the people your immediate needs.
Right now, there's a big challenge at the children's home where the kids use pit latrines. For those of you who know about pit latrines, I'm not sure.
Latrines, outhouses.
But pit latrines are now full. So we need to construct running water toilets at the children's home immediately. So that's a big challenge that we have.
That's number one.
And we have a challenge with buying the tractor so that we can the organization can grow its own food without depending on people or asking people to give. Asking people to give is a big, big challenge. So if we have our own tractor, the kids will learn to grow food, they'll learn to work, and we'll be growing food and even selling some food so that the organization can be self-sustaining. We also have a need of an ambulance for the hospital. It's a big challenge that we have. Like if accidents happen where we are, I have to use my own car to put the people who are bleeding in the car so that I can take them to the hospital.
So you need a sewer system, you need a tractor, And you need an ambulance.
Yes.
Which one are you going to provide there, Smokey? Kath, you and Bob, I want you to get out there and sit on that tractor. We take all of this for granted. Barbara's telling me, Nelson's been staying at the Braes this week.
And I want to thank so much, Bray and family, the wonderful time we have had together.
But it was
opening up their house.
It was a number of days. He drinks lots of Coca-Cola. It was a number of days, and Nelson didn't know you could drink water out of a tap. We take it for granted that everybody knows. All you got to do is turn it on and drink. You don't do that in Uganda.
You don't do that. That would be dirty water.
Yeah. Oh. So we're here to help, okay? You are my brother. You are our brother.
Thank you so much.
And we are part of family. And
thank
we
you.
Are connected not only through the Spirit of God, but because we inhabit this earth.
Thank you so much. And we have the same father, but different mothers.
Same father, but different mothers.
Mothers. Yeah.
And he's a wonderful father, yes.
He's a wonderful father.
Anyway, our prayers are with you, and God is with you, and we pray that his Spirit will travel with you. And thank you for your being God's hands in the world in Uganda.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you.
Yeah.
If you'd like to make a donation, there's a basket in the back, all right, afterwards. In fact, we'll put both offering plates up, one for the local offering and one for the Stow offering. And I think we will just jump right over to the communion service. I want you to know everyone is invited to the table of our Lord to receive the bread and the wine. Let's pray. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for all fathers and uncles and godfathers, but most especially we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your guidance and nurture and spirit and for your Son, Jesus. Today, as we gather around this table, we pray that we might find your strength, and we might find your hope, and we might be filled with your love, that we can share it with each other this week. We ask your blessing to be with Nelson as he travels. Keep him safe and watch over his family, his wife and children, and all those young people who have no fathers. But bless that family in Uganda. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for our families and friends, wherever they find themselves. We especially lift up those who are hurting this day. Be with Ruth and Mel Hammond as Mel makes his final preparations to join you in heaven. Comfort them with your spirit. And we pray, O Lord, for those in our lives who need your healing touch. We thank you for so much you have blessed us with. The abundance that we have, we take it for granted. We are sorry that we take these things for granted. Help us to be good stewards and help us to be your hands in this world. Bless our vacation Bible school this week. Be with all the children and teachers and helpers who will gather. And allow your love to be shared and your presence to be felt. And so now as we gather at this holy table, we ask your blessing upon us. Fill us with the reminder of your love for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our Lord, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us join together in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We invite you up now to receive the bread and the wine. If you prefer grape juice, it's the light liquid in our communion bowls. We'll use intinction today, so please dip it. If you are gluten intolerant, we also have bread for you. Table is set. Come, eat and drink. Please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion found on page 6. Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Let's sing the first and last verse of 848.